and there is the camera in the room. And then I explain that I'm filming an homage to Wall, that the camera should remain in this room, filming this room for 14 hours until I come back to the room and go back to sleep. It's the other side of sleep. Except that I just tell how much it would cost if I did it in Super 8, how much would it cost if I did it in 16 with all the technical details. So all I can afford to do is to go back to sleep. So I wait until night time and you see me coming into the room again and going back. So it's a way to me to deal actually with real time by just saying what I do. So that's why I tell this story, because what we are doing now is just this, that we are here in the Western Front, and I thought yesterday of to end up this research on the Eternal Network in Canada, that here in Vancouver I would give, I was talking with you, Flaky, just give straight information about what you do. And Flaky said, why don't we do it on tape? And Jerry Gilbert suggested, when we spoke to him in the afternoon, he started to speak to me about this movement, which I think you called Intermedia. And Jerry, when did this thing of Intermedia, which started when, in 1965 or 1966?
Yeah, we thought it would be a good idea to talk about actual artifacts, which we have, which are photographs. Interesting what you say about real time. Personally, quite often more interested in unreal time, and the pictures that we're going to get in here are now figments of our imagination.
Mm-hmm. What you did explain to me is that a few years back here in Vancouver, several people started something which was called Intermedia, right? And out of this thing, if I understand well what we said yesterday, and out of many other things came.
Yeah.
Like, it was, looking back, it was quite a first step.
Mm-hmm.
And then you told me, like, in the media press came about, and even it branched off in many things, including Image Bank, right?
Yeah.
And we consider, or you consider, or as part of the network.
Eternal network.
Let's, so in keeping with the sense of it being real time, let's only talk about the pictures, so that we won't talk about anything outside of what we can refer to directly here, rather than speak generally about histories and whatnot.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people present here were at some of these events or know about them. Why don't you start talking here, Glenn, about this is 1966, the Sound Gallery on Beatty Street.
Right. I remember going to Sound Gallery once. I think Martin did a piece there once with Jerry Walker, and I remember Judy Copplethorne was dancing too. I was there a very few times. You had quite a bit to do with the Sound Gallery itself. That was before Intermedia was actually formed. It was kind of the proto Intermedia, I guess, if anything. It was a small space, wasn't it, on a storefront?
Who ran the Sound Gallery? Sort of a loft.
Sam Perry,
right. Helen Goodwin.
Helen.
Yeah. These are photographs of performances. Regular weekend performances, I think two or three nights a week, did shows with Strobe, with jazz, Al Neal playing jazz, with
when
Greg
was that?
Simpson, Rick
65?
Anstey.
65?
66. This
66.
And to step away from the pictures, this also coincided with the Trips Festival, which was where the big San Francisco rock bands came up the coast to Vancouver and were organized in and also coincided with the introduction of LSD into the scene.
It was rather tragic in the end. Sam Perry ended up killing himself. I guess some years after that, wasn't it?
That was sort of the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of this phase. Keep the pictures going. It was a collaborative effort on the part of perhaps a dozen artists. Gary Lee Noble was there.
That's very Robert Cumming, that photo.
Dennis Vance.
It says Dennis 224-3814 Greg.
Their phone number.
That's Helen's phone number. Greg 922-6456 Rick 731. That's Rick Anstey 2074 Rita. Rita, would that be the dancer, Rita?
Mm-hmm. Rita Hayworth.
224-145 Jerry Nairn, who is Mr. Blunt, 733-7766 Gary, who is Art Rat. 731-289.
That's what everybody had names, huh?
Not then.
Yes.
Afterwards. Joy Long, 922.
You were anonymous yet.
922-4986.
I was still in high school then.
I was in the high school confidential.
School days.
Joy Long still has the same phone number, I think. Mike, that's Cypress, right. 86841. Who would that be? Who would be named
Michael DeCourcy.
Michael DeCourcy probably took this picture. There's George Saya, who is presently at General Ideas.
Yeah, George was.
I met.
I did theater works with George. Him and Gaffey with Deborah Hay here.
Oh, hey.
Before he went back in.
DJ Vance, Dazzy Vance, the. Do extensive work with sound.
There's El Neal. Uh-huh. Earlier picture of El.
And Rick Anstey.
Looking not so scruffy, though.
Yeah. This is the backs of flats from. We're at Intermedia now. Yeah. Intermedia on Beattie Street. After right. Sam died, various people got together and promoted with the Canada Council the concept of starting a large collaborative artists co-op. Called Intermedia, and they
Intermedia Society actually
formed a society with discussions for help with artists.
And by then we are what in 67 or what?
This is the fall of 67.
Fall of 67. Yeah.
Then everyone's mind's totally blown. Summer of Love, 67.
Yeah, who was
David Orkett?
The same, mainly the same people, but also
it was
Joe Kyle in
did
Baxter.
Jack Shebold have some.
Jack Shebold, yes. Victor
David
Dory.
Was,
yeah. David Orkett.
Those are essentially people.
A larger number of people.
They were sort of the older artists in the community or older.
Yeah.
People sort of backed it up.
We got a four-story warehouse. These are pictures of the first show at the Art Gallery.
It's the first Intermedia show.
Moving in
Art Gallery.
Johnny Neon.
That's where we were yesterday.
Yes, the Vancouver Art Gallery.
Yeah.
These are all fluorescent tubes, which this fellow, Johnny Neon, he called himself Neon because he was using these tubes, of course.
Yeah.
Johnny Neon is the first artist in Vancouver who assumed a name related to his work.
To his work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess.
Gary was quite early too, wasn't he, the star?
Gary Lee Nova
changed his name.
Gary Lee Nova.
Yeah, right, because his real name is Gary Nairn.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He changed his name to Gary Lee Nova, which is a reference to.
Her name Bruce.
His star
Bruce.
Is Nova Express.
Yeah.
All that.
But these, he worked out a system with these tubes where he could use tubes that were burnt out, and he could excite them with
touching
charge, and if you touched them, they would light up, and this kind of thing.
By the way, do you know the name I use frequently? It's Gaga Yogi.
Gaga Yogi.
Mm-hmm. I use my name, but I put under it Gaga Yogi. Taoist de gauche. Leftist Taoist.
So, the first show at the Vancouver Art Gallery. Wow.
Still the same
what
show.
It went on for a week.
Yeah, and there were a number of performances.
Yeah, performances every day, every night, every night.
So it was just a space that you ran together or something. Or the art council. It wasn't a commercial proposition or was it?
No, not at all.
It was rather like it was like an indoor park in some ways because it was quite it was pure space in a lot of ways, quite vacant.
Yeah. There was lots of stuff and things around it. And of course, there was a dance. Helen Goodwin. She ran a dance group there. And there was a film workshop started, and there was carpentry studio and.
Thank you, Mr. Peanut.
Imagined. And have we got the printing going by then?
No.
Not quite. That was a little later. That's one of the guards. Is that Jack, the guard at the art gallery? Yeah. There's a picture. There's me doing a flower piece with an umbrella.
Jack wants to be dormant at the Western Front.
Does he really?
Mm-hmm. Deborah Hay had been here from New York, and she gave a workshop, which a lot of us participated in, including George Sy from General Idea, and myself, and Gathy Falk, and a number of other people. And out of that came a kind of new sort of relationship of
in these
using materials and sound and
light
so
show.
On.
There was a lot of light show, light projection done in that era, which started out as a style that came from San Francisco. Gerd Stern, though, from New York, he was here, wasn't he?
Well, it was pretty prevalent, wasn't it? The kind of projection, Jefferson Airplane was here, so on beforehand. And I think that first Trips Festival that Sam Perry had done was there were a lot of projections used in that. It was a kind of common rock format at that time.
Did you hit upon the name Intermediate just by?
I don't know where it came from.
I had the impression that it's Dick Higgins who coined the word intermedia.
It's a generic term.
Something
else
spread. He tried, you know, he used to have the newsletter. I don't mean that there is any connection because words fly. Yeah?
Right.
Mm-hmm. The first time I heard myself, the word intermedia is in the Something Else Press newsletter. You see? He called this whole activities.
Mm-hmm. Get a close-up on Marcel.
It was just about the same time. It's interesting how different things run at the same time in different places. That's what I find.
That's Marcel and Lady Lurex.
That's Marcel?
Where is Marcel?
Oh.
His mother.
So that's Marcel's idea.
There's a picture of Glenn Toppings and Janie Adams.
Yeah, Glenn Toppings died last year.
Yeah. And there's Paul Wong. He's a local gallery dealer. Young Chinese gallery dealer.
Was he Marcel Idea then?
No.
He
wasn't.
Michael Morris.
Yeah.
These were some
I get confused
works.
At times because I hear
this is a piece,
reference
we talk
to people
about
by their real
Gathy's?
Name and I know them by their
I mean,
real name.
We use each other's names,
Here's an early theater piece of Gathy's. People are holding onto a clothesline. She's giving them instructions. State your name, date of birth.
Mm-hmm. She's still doing that, please.
Yeah.
Still proceeds.
And there's more Johnny Neon light sculpture at the top. And I guess that's what, early video work or something?
I guess so. This is the roof of Intermedia.
Moving up to the
sky over the building.
Moving to the video.
I think Bud Dore got word Intermedia, and he probably got it from Marshall McLuhan. Because that's where a lot of Marshall McLuhan visited Beattie Street one day, and I remember distinctly asking when he was going to drop out, and
of course I never asked.
He backed off from the question. He was totally confused.
I never
asked
Dick where he got.
Yeah, well, it's one of those kind of words that you put together, I think. Intermedia from the Bible.
Maybe the first time it was used.
The first time I heard of Marshall McLuhan was at Robin Page's in Leeds, and they were discussing whether or not to read the book. Understand. No, the first time I heard was from Allen Ginsberg, who had been reading the Gutenberg Galaxy. The first time I heard was in high school, his Mechanical Bride book.
Right.
And at that time, too, also some magazines from Toronto called Explorations, I think. Edmund Carpenter and Marshall McLuhan put out a sociology magazine. It was very interesting. Did a lot of basic research on their concerns. It's sort of more interesting format. Than the later kind of writing.
I heard Jerry. I heard of Marshall McLuhan before I heard of his book because. it's too long a story.
This is our first director was called Joe Kyle. For some reason, we don't have any pictures of him there. And then Werner Allen came as director, and he's very dynamic. There are of course a lot of personality problems one way or another with various members. It was strange having a director in many respects, because Joe Kyle had been a kind of father in a sense, I suppose, because he'd been with it from initially, and we knew him. Werner had come from back east, and it was like an imported director, you know, for a bunch of artists. It was a little bit rough and rocky on the road.
Werner,
but he had lots of energy, and he had a great capacity for raising money.
Yeah.
This is a Steve Paxton piece. Steve Paxton's from New York, of course. He came out and did some workshops too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the space that you had.
That was the top space.
It's actually a 4-story building. It's quite fine.
These are a number of people that were at Intermediate at the time.
What's his name? I saw him the other day.
Nelson Holland, Dennis name? Vance, and Diane,
uh-huh.
Gary, Enova.
Intermediate ran with myself. The only staff, paid staff, was the secretary.
Well, and the director.
And the director, yeah. That's right, the director got paid. And that was something that was never resolved, was how to run without a director.
There's a picture of Steve Paxton in the air. One of his performances, a large jump. And these are Evelyn Roth. She does a lot of like costume works.
Yeah.
You met her yesterday at the gallery.
Oh yeah.
Right. She did a thing at the Stedelijk a few months ago, I think.
Every week there was a weekly dance workshop happened at Intermediate, most of these are Steve Paxton would be conducting this group, but a large part of this group would be people who would be at Intermediate dancing regularly every week. And so there were probably, and those people came from off the street sometimes, or from university, or from other classes, or whatever, and they formed the corps de ballet for various productions.
There's a early picture of Martin Bartlett, who's here at the Western Front, too.
He gave a concert.
Oh, Martin.
He gave a concert. He was down in San Francisco at the time. He came up and gave a concert.
Mm-hmm. Martin still has the same name.
Yes. There's a picture of Jerry and myself, a picture of Werner Allen. This is a piece that I did with a lot of paper, and there you see Jerry up on a ladder reciting sort of what was going on.
Yeah, it was a set of loops, wasn't it?
Yes. And these people were unrolling, it was thousands of yards of paper, as I recall, and people had sponges on their feet dipped in paint, primary color paint, and they were walking across the
paper. Is that the first time you used sponge?
Yes.
So it has a connection with the New York correspondent.
I think so. Luckily.
By then we must be later, no? In 1968, maybe.
Yeah,
I think that was 68. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was my event.
Or 69.
Was that an event of yours?
No, as a spectator.
As a spectator.
When I first came upon Intermediate.
Really? Was that the first time you came there?
Right.
Kathy Falk doing some
pieces. Is that the piece where she puts syrup on her face? She does a makeup job with syrup and then takes photographs of it and throws syrup on the camera, as I recall. Here's Roy
Kupka.
But
then you were working with film and video already, yeah?
There was a film workshop.
I don't think video had happened yet.
Not video yet.
No, I don't think so. We had a little
Did
bit
you
of
have a budget to be that allowed you? I mean, it's always film and video involves so much bread all the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we did.
You had
The director's job was to dole out that money.
Yeah.
You know, there was a projects committee, and there were weekly meetings when it worked.
This is one of them here,
I think.
So
you still have
meeting.
All these documents, actually. They must exist, no? These films or tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're all being brought together for an information show, which will happen sometime.
Did you tell me that you were going to make a book of that?
These photographs
this actually
part of the book.
Is that part of the layout for the book, or just the
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a stage.
This is the photographic section
in the production.
Oh, yeah. Then you'll have a text that goes with it.
Probably, yeah. This tape will be...
I think there'll be a section called text actually.
This is your Rice Krispies piece.
Oh, yes. I did a piece once. It was a very small piece. I had about 20-something boxes of Rice Krispies. You know how they go scrunch, scrunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got them to be put on the floor. And I was sitting at the piano smoking cigarettes and then I would walk through them. I gave out some pamphlets and walked back again, smoked some more cigarettes.
Walking on Rice Krispies. this particular occasion was for CBC Television.
That's right, it was a television
network
thing.
TV show.
Right, so it would make lots of noise on the TV.
We did a lot of, all sorts of people came around and filmed us and did that. we made life as difficult as we could for them. This is a piece I did. What we're doing, what Glenn and I are doing there, is tossing a radio back and forth.
Pocket radio.
Which is turned on back and forth. And we're filmed. There's a video. Actually, that was just TV playback,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. From earlier. It's the same occasion, Al Neal dancing and singing and playing.
He was the one that was in Paris that I was telling you about, that wrote the article.
Oh, yes.
This is the,
that wrote in the... right. What is the name of this paper? The Sun.
No, the George's Strait.
George's Strait.
Yeah. There's some good signs on the back there. It says, turn it off. Media is a desired effect. Television is a dangerous instrument.
That's the same
show. There's another picture of Glenn Topping.
Down,
and here's some new people at Intermedia. This is Al Rizzutis. He was an American. And he's he more or less got the film workshop really underway. He used to show films. And Bob Arnold, or Box Arnold, he worked with a lot of cardboard. He made a huge cardboard construction.
We'll be seeing those in a moment. Al and Kathy Rizzutis arrived from New York and wandered in and said that they would stage a series of films. And so for several months that fall, every weekend, for 50 cents, there was a couple hours of underground and art films. Bob, I don't know where Bob came from, but he's American, isn't he?
Yeah, he came up from, like, California somewhere, or from the Midwest.
He arrived. Like, Ed,
what happened? Right now, though, remember our car broke down the other day?
Yes.
And we stopped, and that was his truck. We were looking for tools.
Oh, I see. So.
And he's the one that's now into lasers and hologram.
Oh, he's still around then.
Photography.
What
yes.
you call the Grange?
The Grange, at the Grange, right.
I see.
This is the beginning of the Intermedia print shop. So we had been doing a Intermedia newsletter, and finally we got a little Romeo printing press, and we continued the newsletter.
Yeah, there was a great deal of printing came out of that print shop.
Yeah. So you started the Intermedia Press by at that time?
Right.
Yeah,
when is that? Around 69?
Yeah, I guess 69.
Winter 68, 69.
We're still around that time, yeah. I see. And the Intermedia Press still exists?
Yes,
And you work with
it? All these people still exist.
And you work with it, too?
Well, there's a group that work all the time on it, and some of us once in a while go and do something there.
I see.
Like they're putting together part of the book, and we're putting together part of the book.
I see.
Yeah.
So this, for instance, would be published by Intermedia Press?
Might be, yeah.
Maybe.
If we have any money.
Might not be printed by Intermedia. There's a great deal of expense in printing it.
Well, with so many photos, so many reproductions.
This is a box piece of Bob Arnold's.
Yeah.
The cube. Our artists had always been working together, collaboratively, like Dennis Vance making a soundtrack with Gary Nunova, many layered audio tape. Gary on Gary's film. Steel Mushrooms, which was made at the Sound Gallery, which was really artists working together, was already happening, and artists. What started to happen was artists taking common images, and in this particular era, the box was a common image.
So
what I see that it seemed that you have had in common with, say, groups like Fluxus is that it was based more on friendship than people doing the same thing. Huh? I mean, everybody did his own thing. It wasn't...
Well, sometimes...
No.
The two ways. Sometimes there were trading of images back and forth.
I see.
And actually, you know, working on the same images but in different media. And other times it was kind of collaborative works where things were done by two artists or three artists rather than by one.
Yeah. All right.
To me, the interesting art aspect of it was, were the people who arrived. There were always at Intermedia people who considered themselves artists, even if they call themselves non-artists. or even if they were redefining the way in which they were or wanted to work. But there were a great number of other people who became involved, and it was a very local. It was a very kind of. I don't know what I don't know about Fluxus is, did they ever exist in a place, and was that place a place where people could walk in off the street and join, and if they could get along, and intermediate.
Well, there's the state.
No, I don't want. I don't want to talk.
That happened. Yeah.
I answer to this, Deva, but I don't want to talk about. Of course, the Fluxus. It's, I don't know what it is. So I have never been part of it. But all I meant is that I thought that the similarity in spirit was that you were people drawn together without having a rigid set like or theory.
No, there's no theory.
In other words, it was the kind of group that can accept many people in it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and
it was kind
and
of discovering a lifestyle. That was certainly one of the big, biggest phenomena about it, in a sense.
In this,
how
I
work
think
together,
it has become very important. And this idea of defining a lifestyle or documenting lifestyle—that's what you are doing at Dumb Bank, documenting lifestyle.
Fanzini, the
Count Fanzini. I'm going to find out his ancestors for him. In Italy.
Yeah,
that will be part of the show.
Have you seen the boxing match?
Oh, yes.
What is the boxing match?
This is a boxing match. There was a boxes like this were put on Jerry and Mr. Peanut, and they had a marvelous boxing match in a ring with these boxers.
Heavyweight boxers of the world. We're going to restage this event in the Hollywood show. Professional boxing at the Elks Hotel, Bantam Lightweight, and they've got a boxing ring and everything, so this will be one of the events in Hollywood.
I see. And here, who are the two?
Well, two opponents boxing.
With boxes on.
They're just box champions.
Ah.
Yeah.
One of the things that was happening at Intermedia was that happened simultaneously on its own in other places was the reason when we were talking about Fluxus I suddenly realized this was that in other places too groups were starting to work locally in terms of their own civic kind of reality, their own communities, and there was one definition of that was that there was very little communication with people, say through the mails. This is pre-correspondence, say in Vancouver. Even though people were certainly in correspondence, this was sort of a real-time event. These were people actually meet the people who could actually meet and work together, but who could come was left open. Who could wander in?
It's interesting. Pre-correspondence days. It's actually one of the reasons why. We didn't know about what you were doing because
that's true.
We all found out about each other through correspondence.
Yes, that's true. We did. Yeah.
These figures got cut out of life-size photographic figures, and then this is the cardboard.
I see
that they were.
That was an exhibit of Michael de Corsi's.
This was the second Intermedia show, as I recall. Yeah, we're probably about 1969 now.
Yeah, spring 1969. Yeah.
This is Gathy's piece.
Yes, which got torn apart.
Torn apart. It's a bale of packing.
Yeah. Excelsior.
People rip it apart.
This is a mountain of television sets that Dave Linden made. That was a large show, and it went quite successfully for quite a while. Down here on this page is Kim Foikas.
Oh, right, Vancouver Town Fool.
Mm-hmm. He quit his job and made a fool's costume and went out into the streets and became a national celebrity in Canada. And he would only talk to people in terms of nursery rhymes. No matter what question was asked, the answer came out as a nursery rhyme or as an explanation of a nursery rhyme. His mind, he's German, and I think, and his mind is very analytical, but his analysis was all in terms of nursery rhymes. He was around. He was also into one event I can remember at the art gallery, where Kim came and sat down on the floor and took out a bag of grass and started rolling joints and lighting them and handing them around. And the intermediate situation that happened, the people there wouldn't come and take any joints from them. That was very interesting. At that point, everyone was still involved in a kind of cool or reservedness. I think nowadays, somebody handed anybody a joint anywhere in town, they'd take it.
Yeah.
Box research.
This is the armory show.
Oh, right. Oh, that was marvelous. It was a dinner for Trudeau, and somehow this political party was having a fundraising dinner there, you see. Like $100 for a plate or something, so they could raise some money. For some fluke or some reason, Intermedia got asked to do the decorations. So we went and did the decorations. We hung huge sort of screens made up of strips of plastic that just hung down, were free on the bottom. So they were loose, and they hung down like curtains. And there were about six of those, I think. And we projected it on both sides from movies and slides and this kind of thing. And then Gathy had decorated all. They had a lot of moose heads. There was a fight over that. The officers, it was also an officer's mess, you see, army mess. And they're very kind of proper and stuffy. They came out and were very upset about Gathy putting fruit on their moose heads, because see, it's their regimental animal or something. I don't understand what they do, but they maybe come and sort of bow down in front of the animal each day, and somebody was desecrating them. And so they were having tug of wars, you know, pulling. I mean, they were pulling watermelons, I think, around. But it was quite a marvelous show.
Yeah, and this, here's the police. Outside the Yippies and the Maoists yelled down the speaker's platform, where Trudeau had promised to make a statement, make a response to questions asked him by very tame leftist groups. The Maoists refused to yell that down, and the Yippies started a chant with drums. They drummed and got a battering ram and battered a log
door.
Or a hole and battered at the door with a huge crash, rhythmically battered. And
the
and
funny
chanted.
Thing is, this officer's mess is built like an old French castle, you see, so everything fits. And all these very aristocratic people sitting around, you know, $100 plate meals.
Uniforms.
And we're in there, we're showing slides of garbage piles and food, close-ups of food, you know, and
Okay.
And then Trudeau starts to make a speech. You know, and
hold it, Glenn. You have to wait.
Oh,
for
no. It was so funny.
I've heard so many different people show
that's
nice
on that.
It's pandemonium. That's a pandemonium.
Out the time in between the start and the stop.
No, I think.
We're not gonna dig it.
I mean, it may be.
We've one of the reasons we haven't sold this history is because we aren't really too interested in that. You know, it doesn't really mean that much to anybody else, and we'd rather have it all, let it organically, naturally come together, you know, as a singular
well
thing.
That's the vision as you're laying it out, in a sense, you know, like,
yeah, but we could.
I would just assume, no, you know, I would like to make it, I would like to say, well, there's rather than try for that kind of perfection, you know, or for that impossibility, perhaps I would like to say, well, you know, it can be structured and it can, you know, we can do it, in other words, you know, and we should do it, you know, like that.
Well, we are
that's,
doing
that's
it.
That's a little bit more. I mean,
we
more
are
that,
doing it, but it's
I lean more to that kind of vision, you know.
But the thing that's possible is that the document be created in a way so that other people have free access to it. And if it's sold as a book published in New York, you don't have free access to it. As soon as you pay $10 for it, or as soon as you buy it, or look at Scribner's written on it, or some other trick is laid into it. We'd rather
you understand that they will have access to the whole thing anyway.
On our terms, so, yeah. Like it'd be nice if we'd hold out until art galleries were more pleasant places to go into before we put on our shows.
Always true. Sure, that's always true. I mean, you don't do things unless you can do them the way you want.
I ask, should we break the tension and do something else and go back to it? And you say no. On the contrary, let's not break the tension. We have just built it up, and let's keep it up.
Yeah.
That's what it comes to.
Let's
keep it up. You see.
Okay. Back at the Trudeau riot.
Yeah.
Joan Payne was outside with a cassette tape recorder recording the riot. The yippies chanting revolution now, and. Those cassette tapes were passed inside, and whilst the riot was going on, those sounds were fed into the sound system
inside.
It was very nice.
And also Dennis had sounds too, didn't he? Dennis Vance had a soundtrack as well. It was coincidental with the other one that was being brought in. He'd gone around and recorded like all the restaurant sounds, like all the Chinese restaurants and all the dishes clattering and everything.
People inside were eating dinner.
They're eating dinner. And then he also had some things like bombers diving and things like this, you see. And it was it created quite a fuss. I think actually Trudeau or one of his people asked us to turn it down a bit.
Yeah.
And we'd also made a stage in which we put artificial grass and then a lectern in which he was going to speak at. And we covered it all in mirror mylar, so it was all very bright and shiny. And there was a big watermelon sitting on the grass with a lawnmower beside it. And a thing that we hadn't foreseen happening was a Negro singer came to sing this band at some point. And she saw the watermelon, of course, and she refused to sing if the watermelon was on the stage. So the watermelon had to be taken off the stage.
Didn't Trudeau do something with the watermelon, too? Like he stabbed it? Or didn't he do something outrageous?
He actually knocked a whole lot of little plastic flowers off the lectern.
Because the people didn't like the flowers. Something like that.
He gave quite a tough speech about pollution. He said, "If you want to have clean, clean place to live in, then you have to pay for it."
Mm-hmm.
And they all applauded, see, because they had lots of money.
I was going inside and outside until a policeman finally stopped me and said, "Make up your mind whether you're inside or outside." And I went inside. Intermedia has not had. We're still having difficulties with the Marxists as artists. The great file split.
Mm-hmm.
It's a recent instance of that.
Right. Well, their acceptance of the artist as what we, in a sense, what we put out. I mean, it's not all that clear cut, I wouldn't say, but
what artists are doing is not being seen by political people involved in Marxist dialectics as being what Marxist artists should be doing.
At least this is our idea of what they think, anyway. You know, it's all about assumptions, of course. This is Herb Gilbert's Moon Festival down at the beach. This is Herb Gilbert dressed in his polka dots here.
He's gone out, so you can go right on.
There's Greg Simpson. He used to play with Al Neal, played drums with Al Neal for a long time. He recently had a show at in Paris of West Coast hermetics, kind of like, let's say, sort of surrealist kind of tradition here. There's also a bunch of people that do collage, sort of like that. Where's Mr. Peanut?
This is Mr. Peanut's
fire piece. That was part of a festival at UBC.
13
flammable
objects.
Gasoline, matches, naphthalene, benzene, potassium nitrate, sodium nitrate, phosphorus, magnesium, gunpowder, methyl hydrate, flares, toluene, acetate.
And this is the result. You put them in plastic containers and lit them, and they all burn with different kinds of flames and so on.
Wasn't that videotaped?
Yeah, I think so.
And filmed.
Was this already when Image Bank existed, or what?
Yes, just starting, I think, maybe.
When did you start Image Bank?
Michael and Mr. Peanut started Image Bank, I guess, in 69.
Gary was in there too.
Yeah, Gary too.
Is it the same time of Chaos? It's the same time.
We all were to some extent, but Image Bank primarily is Michael Morris and Mr. Peanut.
On the beach?
Well, I think this was earlier.
But it doesn't matter.
Earlier piece.
This is a piece of Art Rats, Gary Lenova up at, he was Gary Lenova then, up at in West Vancouver.
Right.
A mirror piece.
And he put a mirror in the waterfall.
In a waterfall and
filmed it.
He managed just to get about a little bit of film done before some children came along and threw a rock at it. And this is the broken one here, I think.
Right.
This is the Mushroom Festival up at Roberts Creek at Babyland.
Mm-hmm.
And about 30 of us went up one October. I guess October 69. Was it October 69?
Mm-hmm.
It must have been.
Yeah.
And we went up there and picked mushrooms in the forest. There are a lot of chanterelles and the brown chanterelles. And mainly that's what we used. And about 30 people went up. And these are all the pregnant ladies of Intermediate at the time.
Ah. Where are the babies now?
Oh, they're all around. All godchildren.
Writing poetry.
The same.
Just single pages now.
No. Just the
one. This is the same thing.
That's Roberts Creek where now I'm going tomorrow, right?
Yes.
With baby. This is an early image of Babyland.
That's Babyland. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At first because of the babies.
People came and brought up domes.
Very good. That's where Marcel Aidy is now.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You live
mm-hmm.
30 miles north of there in
Garden Bay.
That's right. In Bunbank.
Right. This, I suppose, was some performance or other with Al and I don't know who the top one.
Street performance.
No, this is another one here. This is a bus that was taken
see.
Around and people had cameras and video and things from the bus, I think.
Done
Do they have
I think so.
Yeah.
Done in association with the School of Architecture.
Yeah, right, School of Architecture.
There's a sign for it here. Intermediate bus stop.
Right.
Bus trip. December 68.
December 68?
Yes,
mm.
Read Sixway.
Hmm. Yeah, that's
first trip.
We were still at Beattie Street then. Yeah.
And this was a large cardboard environment, like big chains made out of cardboard that filled up the room.
Yeah.
Well, one would be about this size, filled up a whole gallery at UBC. And Gary Nova and Box Arnold did that mainly. Well, they did do it. Yes.
They did a series of videotapes too, of combinations of videotapes and film. They'd play the film back and then videotape it, and they'd then film off the video. And they did most of it in conjunction with people with boxes on their heads and on their hands walking around and things of that sort.
The Colonial Magic Theater, which was an old movie theater. In a block about to be demolished in 2 or 3 years. The last 2 or 3 years of life was taken over by Terry Loychuk and Wally Robinson and turned into a movie house. But plays were put on there, and these films were opening night, I think.
Right. Was this a meeting at the New Era Social Club? Or?
I think so, yeah. Some kind of a meeting.
Moved down to down to this place on Powell Street with Mike DeCourcy and Dennis Vance, and we started the New Era Social Club. There's the Magic Theater again.
It does not exist anymore?
No, they just tore it down to build one of those tall buildings. It's a match piece of yours, though, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
Poetry reading down here, looks like.
It's Ed reading. The poetry front happened in the fall of 69, in the fall of 69-70, and it was a group of half a dozen poets who put on performances in high schools in the Art Gallery, and we made a tape. A tape was collection was made at that point called Radio Free Rainforest, which was a an hour of poetry. All of that kind of artifact will go together with this book as a show, as an exhibit. That we'll see that this what we're doing right now is sort of like a trailer for it.
Yeah. Does it still exist, the poetry fund?
No.
Do you call it no.
No. Yeah. No, we don't do things together in the same way.
The poem company exists.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's sort
of a spin-off of the poetry fund.
The poetry fund still has a bank account. We have about $10 in the bank.
There's lots of little stray bank accounts all over the place. They're the only remainders of some of the groups as they were constituted then. Mm-hmm.
This is the opening night at the Colonial Magic Theater. On that evening, one of the girls who's in the photograph at Babyland, heavily pregnant, Dominique, the opening night of the Magic Theater, whilst Al Neal was playing, her water broke, so she got up and took a bus to the hospital and had a lovely baby girl named
You should know.
Why should he know?
Oh, he was. That was one of Jerry's girlfriends for a while.
Yeah.
These are moonshots, I think. There's Dennis Vance up there.
Dennis.
And there's a visit from Stan Bevington from Courthouse Press in Toronto. I guess that was his first visit, was it? There?
Perhaps. Yeah.
Perhaps.
Oh, no, those pictures taken at Courthouse.
Were they?
Yeah, that's the Courthouse
visit. Mike's visit to Courthouse, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it the same place?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Jerry had known the people at the Courthouse, I think, previously, and through Jerry we started visiting, too, and through the years we've
By then
got
you
a very
were
close
developing contacts
with
other people in
well,
other
Well, we already had those contacts, but
we
didn't use them.
Places,
and, by now we're starting to
use
to,
one another
to,
in that way.
Yeah. Dave's name is Miro, by the way. I was trying to think of the artist.
And there's Dave Rimmer, a filmmaker. And
he was the first one to get into video, actually.
Yeah. Now, is this the new building on 4th Avenue? We moved by then,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we're on 4th Avenue. Yeah.
We moved to another building then.
Much smaller building.
It was very difficult in many ways. The space was very limited compared to the other place. And it was hard for us to adjust to it. It wasn't somehow as happy a place as the first place.
This is the point at which Intermedia is sort of being administrated into the ground. Yeah. It's like it could no longer hold together as something expanding, so it started to
diminish. And the Canada Council seemed to want, they didn't want to give us the money unless it was administrated very well kind of thing. Or at least that's what we were led to believe as artists, because the director...
Which it wasn't, of course. No, it wasn't well administered.
Oh well,
I mean, it was for you.
We did as much
not
as we possibly could on the money, of course.
It was for the administration, but it wasn't for the artists.
Yeah.
Or it was always contentious about this. You know, this was the bone of contention. Kind of, did we need a director or didn't we need a director? You know, and who was going to do the money and who was going to make what out of set amount of money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we used to have meetings and they were quite fun.
That's another story. I have thought of writing an anthology of infighting in the art world.
Yes.
I think it could be interesting.
Yeah.
Now that we can laugh about it, you know, asking everybody about his experience. And
shall we do it sometime?
Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it? That'd be good
It's Dennis working on sound sculpture here.
Yes. Dennis has done a number of sound sculptures about approaching an object and it makes sound, or walking over sensors and making sound and this kind of thing. And we ended up by doing lots of things like that in conjunction with dancers and
mm-hmm.
other kinds of things.
And below that, just below that, is a teapot of
McHenry's.
Michael
de
Courcy's set of photographs.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis Vance and Michael Henry.
Yeah.
He also lives at Babyland, has a pottery there.
This was at an opening of Mixed Pots. There was an interesting relationship developing just as friends with craftsmen, which culminated in a situation that happened, that we'll see later, whereby Dan Clements up here and Ian Ridgway. This was the era where names started happening too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
remember, Ian was known as Beverly Latchset at that point.
Yes, we went through a whole. We arrived in Intermedia one night, I remember, mm-hmm. and we had all these slots. And we all gave ourselves names, post office names, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then none of them stuck with those original names. I was called the Green Wing, I think. I don't know quite why, but Henry gave me that name.
Actually,
and the best name I think was a name for Judy Coppenthal. It was called Mistreat.
Yeah, she ended up writing a book called Mistreat's Pillow Book.
Mistreat.
Mistreat,
yeah,
right.
She changed it.
Actually, Slim Flowers goes back to 67.
Mm-hmm.
There's Dominique and
Gloria. Mm-hmm. And
some
Anita
box.
And here's some box
Anita
things. You see the people in the box costumes are getting in and out of this truck and so on and walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Unloading boxes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a larger picture of it.
Mm-hmm. What you can't hear is the Intermedia sound room, which was an ever-present sound involving looping, taping loops and layering sounds.
This is another sound sculpture thing, a floating one that Dennis had. He was floating it around out in Lost Lagoon.
And kind of, you all helped on somebody else's project, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, even if it was just...
Things
would
be being done by two or three people.
Sure.
As this phase progressed, and things got narrower, people split off and became private artists, you know, quite often.
Or other groups.
Yeah, or, you know, went off into other groups.
But in a sense, I mean, right now, I mean... I still think of it in many ways as being intermediate, but I mean, the name doesn't mean anything, you know, it's a, you know, but we're the same group of people. Sometimes I don't see that much of Ed now as like I used to, but nonetheless, you know, I'm aware of what he's doing and his group is doing and so on, and we sort of relate group to group now, or decentralized actually.
Yeah.
In fact, at one point, we tried to do that kind of institutionalized, in an institutionalized way. We applied to the Canada Council to decentralize.
Mm-hmm.
To have smaller groups, more specialized kinds of groups, and they refused to do that. They didn't like us trying to restructure ourselves, you know, in that way, because we wanted to be, you know, with no bureaucracy, we didn't want to make an institution out of Intermedia. So, but they weren't sure about that. But then the next year, of course, after that, then there were all kinds of little groups everywhere, and then they had to accept it, you see, because we'd already pointed the way to it.
Mm-hmm. We didn't get. Did we get to see Michael's?
Sure.
This?
Yeah, this is a large photographic... hi, Dave. This is a large photographic box of photographs printed on them, and so that you can turn them and you can get all one image on one side and so on.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And he exhibited this, I think, finally at the Modern Museum in New York.
It was...
Which Michael did this?
Michael de Corsi. He did most of these pictures that we're looking at.
I see.
Yeah. He was
and,
the photographer.
And this was...
we'll find a picture of it
an
soon.
Example of a project that Michael... took to industry. These were printed
mm-hmm.
by a large pulp and
paper
company who...
We were starting to get into that then.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to use the industries around in some philanthropic way.
Mm-hmm. And we're now getting ready for the 1970 spring show at Vancouver Art Gallery. Being on 4th Avenue now, we were completely dependent on the art gallery for performing space. Before we'd had a four-story warehouse. We had our own performing and rehearsal spaces, but at this point, things are becoming a bit more conceptual and a little bit less. You know, performances were being done on the street and in parks.
Oh, this would be 69, then, wouldn't it? Or,
this is
70. Spring of 70. We started in 69, and we put on the show in May, I think, 70.
Mm-hmm.
This is another show, isn't it?
No, this is an interlude.
Interlude.
Right.
Yeah.
Interlude in Arts Canada.
Yeah, and a piece of Dennis Vance's at the Art Gallery of Sound Sculpture. Isn't this
Michael de Corsi's
Michael de Corsi.
Puzzle.
Yeah, puzzles. Of,
No,
this
now
is...
Now we're on TV. Yeah.
Yeah, this is TV. This is the same Michael de Corsi's thing. And this is... I'm being interviewed about my mural that I did for Japan, I was telling you about.
I see, yeah.
This
you
is an example of some of them here. Yeah, and then the government...
The World Fair, yeah.
The World Fair in Osaka, right. And the government, the guy that was running the pavilion for the Canadian government refused to accept the mural when he saw it, you see. And so I'm suing the government now. But this was an interview about the mural on TV. Now, the spring show, like the way we decided to work at that point was to, one of us would become kind of the coordinator for an exhibition. We were getting requests for exhibitions a lot then. And we also did one, you know, which we'll come to, in Stratford, Ontario. But so I was sort of the coordinator for this particular show. And we decided as a group finally, after a lot of, you know, like ideas and things going around for meetings for maybe a month, to do a dome show. We did. We had the use of the whole of the art gallery, every room in the art gallery, and we had a wonderful engineer who worked with us too, who could design anything just about. And he designed some L. Hewitt, right, and he designed some aluminum domes, and another fellow, Doug Robinson, designed some wooden ones. And so a dome was put up in every room, and every room was a different color. It was like walking through the spectrum. You started and there was eight rooms, and you started at red and you ended up in violet. And so these are some of the domes that are being, things are being done with them outside. And then there were 9 evenings of performances and other performances as well, and that kind of thing. But there was nothing else in the gallery except these domes in each room. And so they acted sort of like a scaffold for anything that could happen there.
These were domes that could be assembled and disassembled, taken apart.
I can see that.
Quite easily. Mm-hmm. This was the Tinker Toy Dome, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a Meccano Dome.
There's a sheet aluminum dome. Mm-hmm. That's quite nice.
It was very much a sky kind of image. David Mamet made a dome where you lay on your back and watch movies being projected on it.
It was the first. It was the most coordinated kind of show that we'd done, in the sense that there weren't a lot of different objects or different things. It was very. It was the, you know, we managed to agree on something common thing, and it didn't turn out to be very much.
Again,
kind of, yeah.
It was in a way the last coming together of all the people who'd always been around, and who came to Intermedia not because it was had anything to do with art, but because it was just a place where there was where you could get together a lot of music if you felt like it. And these people are folks living in quite often now. Moved into the
country. There's a newspaper of it. We can give you a copy of this, probably.
Yes.
I think it's probably somewhere else. These are just Polaroid photographs that were taken at the time and then put on the wall and were taken again. So.
Pretty quite a remarkable set of happy people. But another thing that was happening.
These are Polaroid photos.
Yes, in the exhibition, you see.
I see. Polaroid
and then they were put up as part of the.
I see.
We had a permanent.
Each person.
Okay.
Each person was holding the previous picture that was taken.
Right.
I see.
Yeah.
And at this point, I think in Intermedia's history, the communards, non-artists split from the professional artists, and this show was largely put together, or the people who ran it were people who had never thought of themselves as artists, but just as a somehow a society or a clan or a tribe.
I see.
Working together, and they.